Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you on a Falcons Monday, brought to you by Comcast. Experience internet that's more than just fast with Xfinity XFi. Yeah. So much went down this weekend, and we'll try to get caught up on as much as we can coming up in just a couple minutes and what's trending. Phone lines open back up at 120. Still reacting to the most frustrating thing from the Falcons' loss to the Seahawks yesterday afternoon. What was it? What was the number one thing that had you most frustrated from yesterday's game? We'll get the phone lines open in about 25 minutes. But, Randy, like, that's the hard part about these Mondays is so much went down over the weekend. Obviously, we're going to do our best to focus in on what happened in Atlanta sports. Mondays, Falcons Mondays, are going to be so much focused on what happened in the Falcons game. But it was incredible opening weekend in the NFL. And just in terms of fun storylines, interesting, unique storylines. And Aldon Smith last night, after, 5 years out of the NFL, comes back last night. I know the Cowboys lose, but, you know, you got to root for a human story like that. He gets back out on the field, got a sack. Like, he was as out of football as you could possibly be. So pretty cool to see him back on the field last night among tons of other cool stories from yesterday.
But the thing about it was, Bunk, they got a $20 million a year defensive player, and Aldon outplayed him and hadn't been in the league for five damn years.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
crazy just how naturally talented certain people
he
are.
He is, you know, and I want Aldon to do well. I want Aldon to do well. I want Randy Gregory to do well. I want Josh Gordon to do well. I want all these guys to do so well. I don't trust that they will, because when are they giving me any okay? I remember playing against Aldon and how talented of a player he was, and seems like he still is. But I knew a lot of Alden's teammates, And all of them would say the same thing. After practice, we did not know if we were going to see Aldon the next day. Didn't know. That's just what he did. Didn't know. Yeah. They did not know if they would see Aldon the next day.
I don't want to say that adds to the unbelievable nature of being so talented. You know what I mean? Like, getting to 30 sacks faster than anyone else in NFL history while also living that life. Yeah, but it goes back to the Josh Gordon thing. When Josh Gordon led the NFL in receiving in 14 games and was drunk every day. Like, again, like, you're not celebrating that side of it, but it does make it more insane that someone could be so physically gifted that even though they're trying to do everything that they can to derail their professional life, they're still able to go out there on Sunday and be that much better at something that is impossible to be that good at. You know what I mean? And I'm with you, Randy. Like, there's a certain amount of chances that somebody gets, and you get to a point where it's like, man, look, I hope he succeeds. I hope it works out for him. But if I was running a football team, I wouldn't be the one gambling. I wouldn't be the one taking a chance on the guy. Now, look, I hope Aldon Smith can keep it together for the season. The Falcons got to worry about him on Sunday. That's who the Falcons play this coming weekend, is the Dallas Cowboys and Aldon Smith. It looks like he's back to it. Did you ever play with somebody who was like, you know, all right, this guy's really good. I'm not exactly sure what we're going to be getting from him every single week, because I don't know that we can trust him. But obviously he's so good, we have to take the risk of keeping him on the roster.
Yeah, I played a couple of guys like that. And it was, you know, he's talented, but you just couldn't count on him. And we couldn't count on him. And, you know, never would divulge where this is at, but sure. I mean, we would have to literally send like team security to go get him, you know, like literally go get him out of wherever he was. And it usually wasn't at home, and it usually was at, you know, so you know, we had teammates like that, man. And those are the ones where you're like, I don't know, he's as talented as anybody, but is he going to be here when we need him? And a lot of times he wasn't. Missed planes, all kind of crap. Like, and eventually, it's like, all right, well, you got to go, homie.
Right. At a certain point, the talent doesn't outweigh the other stuff. And then you're stuck with the decision that you made to take that risk. Anyway, it was good to see Aldon Smith back yesterday. Yeah. Hopefully, he can make it work for the entire season. I mean, it would be cool if he didn't get any sacks this Sunday. Like, it'd be nice if the Falcons could keep him out of the backfield this Sunday. But it was fun to see him back out on the field. We'll get the phone lines open back up, 404-741-0929, coming up in 20 minutes. What frustrated you the most? There was a lot of frustration. I mean, you give up 38 points and lose week one. That's three consecutive years the Falcons have gone 0-1 to start the year. Last 2 years, the Falcons won week two. So at least they bounced back from losing. I don't know. We're searching for silver linings.
You know what's funny? I'm looking at, I see some interesting NBA news. So I guess Giannis met with the Bucks front office and the owner, and they said they're willing to go into luxury tax to get people around him. Huh, okay. I'm kind of going to damn Milwaukee.
Great. Yeah. We're willing. You'd be willing to pay whatever you want. If nobody wants to go play for the Milwaukee Bucks, no one's going to go play for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Damn Milwaukee.
Yeah, I hope they don't. I hope no one does go play with him, and then he hits free agency, and the Hawks have put together an interesting enough recruiting pitch to where maybe they could get in the game. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but hopefully it does. All right, we'll get back out to the phone lines coming up. We'll get to an AMA at 140. You can get your AMA questions in as well on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line or on Twitter. Let's kick off the 1 o'clock hour with What's Trending.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh, my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
There could be a time where you call, you know, big punts, but the look isn't right, you know, for you, and you kick it away. And so in this game, that was the one that we had, the look we were looking for. And so not executing that one and obviously turn the ball over, you know, that was a big part.
Yeah, it didn't go the way that you wanted it to. It would have if Niesman would have hung on to the ball. He had the first down, and then it's first and 10, and, you know, maybe you go the rest of the way. You go the other 65 yards that you were away from the end zone, and you score a touchdown. It seemed a curious call to me to run a fake punt only down by 9 in the middle of the third quarter, but apparently that's what the Falcons thought they needed to do to stay in that football game. And it comes down to execution. Now, we can get into the decision-making part of it as well, but if they would have executed it right, then they would have got the first down. If they would have executed the defense correctly on 4th and 5, then the Seahawks wouldn't have scored a touchdown when they went for it on 4th down. But it's those little plays that the Falcons haven't been able to make, or big plays. I mean, they're not little plays. Those are huge moments in the game. But it's those turning point plays the Falcons haven't been able to make the last couple of seasons. And to me, and I know we're going to get to this more in 15 minutes, that's what was most frustrating about yesterday. These games come down to these moments. And it just seems like 80% of them don't go the Falcons' way.
Damn, 80%. After us sitting here talking and breaking all this thing, I just go back to something that you said earlier when the show first started. It just seemed like last year.
Yeah.
You see a lot of the same similarities in what they did last year. Now, did you see some improvement in certain areas? Yes. Like we talked about the pass rush and all that. I thought the O-line played well. I don't think they were bullied around. I thought Caleb McGarry was good in the game, pass pro and everything. Now, the only thing is that I think that Seattle's pass rush was awful. You know, as far as them just pure beating you out, you got your hands cut out. I mean, you got your work cut out for you right now this Sunday coming up with Alden Smith and DeMarcus Lawrence. I mean, these guys are much better pass rushers than what you face. But as long as you played well and didn't give up sacks, you're good. But, yeah, I mean, it's always frustrating when, and especially here in Atlanta, when Julio Jones is behind somebody and he got to wait on the ball. It's like,
yeah,
damn,
it
just let it go. Let it go, because Julio going to win the majority of the damn time when he's running up the field, because you're so scared to death. That's why he's so good at coming out of his break. And when he runs that route in the inside, you got to put it out there, Matt. Now, there was somebody in your lap almost, but these are the things that annoy me about what happens with the Falcons all the time. It's always that. It's good, but not great. You know, it's a good play by Julio. Man, that could have been a great play by Julio and Matt if the ball gets out there. Another thing, you pick up Niesman. The look, anytime you go into a fake, you always have an off call. Every team knows this. When you're a fake punt, fake field goal, whatever, you always have an off call if the look is not right. If it's right, you run it. If it's right, you run it. Fumble. Like, damn, I'm not going to say it's a great call, because me and you both don't like the call, but I think the call is good if it works, just like anything else. Damn, you get the perfect look, you get the first down, and then what happens? Bam, fumble. I mean, you got great coverage. You're forcing him inside. What happens? He runs right. I mean, it's always like that with them for some reason. I think that's the most frustrating thing, along with without adjusting to, well, you got to threaten Jamal Adams somehow.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just let him roam around and disrupt every single play like he did in the first half of that football game. And they made adjustments at halftime, but unfortunately it was too little too late as far as that went. Let me ask you this, and this is probably one we can't know the answer to, but I think we can at least speculate. If Pete Carroll doesn't go for it on that 4th and 5 and throw the touchdown to DK Metcalf, and, you know, gutsy call, probably, again, not the textbook thing to do on 4th and 5 is to throw a deep ball. You know, he'd probably just try to get the 5 yards and keep it moving. Or a lot of coaches up in that situation would have pooch punted it and tried to pin the Falcons deep. Maybe you try a 56-yard field goal or whatever. But, like, not every coach in the NFL would have done what Pete Carroll did there. But he did. He did it. It worked. They scored a touchdown.
It's a possibility. And here's why. You're in no man's land right there because you don't want to punt it.
Sure.
Maybe a little too far for a field goal, but you're not giving them overly great field position. You give them good field position, you're not giving them overly great field position. So, and then I think I was reading something about Russ. Russ straight up went to Pete and then was like, "Hey man, I need to throw the damn ball more. All right? Mm-hmm. Damn this grounded pound. I need to be the focus of this offense. Not wait until we're down and it's 20 minutes left to go. No, I need to go." Russ was 31 of 35. And four of them things. Four tubs.
He had as many touchdown passes as he had incomplete passes.
Yeah.
And two of those were dropped. So, No, you're right. Russell Wilson was phenomenal yesterday. I just mean if they don't make that play, if they don't, whatever they do, if they do the other thing, they pooch punt it, they kick the field goal, they run it, whatever, they pick up the – do you think Dan Quinn fake punts on their fourth down if Pete Carroll didn't do what he did on his fourth down?
Basically,
Pete Carroll force Dan Quinn's hand into doing that?
No, see that's always a question when you talk about coaching matchups and things like that, and how do you force a coach to maybe do something he might not have done? I don't know. I don't think a fake punt was necessary then, but at the same time, but what I always look at it is okay, you did it. If you execute it right, then you got a first down, and then you keep the drive going. And there's nothing that gives an offense juice when you get something like that, a fake punt or something like that. Because the one thing about it is that when it comes in, everybody comes over. Hey, they about to run this fake. When there's a play that's off script, oh, everybody gets up because it's always like, hey man, we finna run that fake punt. Hey man, we finna run that throwback screen on the kickoff return. You know what I'm saying? Everybody gets up and it gets you juiced when you get it. That right there could demoralize you though, because you're like, damn. Nope.
Absolutely. You know? And the Seahawks getting their fourth down play for a touchdown certainly got them amped up, gave them juice. And then they recover the fumble on the Falcons attempt on fourth down, and that gives them juice. I just think I don't know that the Falcons were in desperate need of juice right there. They had stopped the Seahawks on defense three of the last four times, and almost four of the last four, because Deion Jones made an amazing play on Chris Carson right before they went for it on fourth and five and scored the touchdown, got in the backfield, blew up the play, made a really nice play. You give them a short field after they just score a touchdown, you're essentially inviting the momentum into their direction. If you punt it and live to play another down, you're down nine. I mean, nine's not that much. After they put together some pretty successful drives in the second quarter, the Falcons scored points in the second quarter. I don't know. It seemed like a very aggressive, if you want to call it that, panicky, if you want to call it that, thing to do midway through the third quarter when the game was still well in hand. And
that's I'm with you.
And because it backfired, we're spending more time.
Exactly. If it works, and Nice holds onto the ball, oh, what a gutsy call by Dan Quinn.
Yep.
You know, because it didn't work, and it wasn't because Dan Quinn it didn't work. It's because your player didn't hang on to the football. Now people say, well, he had no business holding the ball. Well, fake punts are usually run by the up back, who's usually a defensive back or
somebody. When you put somebody in on a fake punt who is used to having the ball in his hands, you know, like Georgia when they put in Justin Fields, they're kind of telegraphing the fact that you're going to run a fake punt.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So you have to give it to somebody who doesn't normally carry the football. I understand that. The same thing could be said if that pass that Russell Wilson throws to DK Metcalf is overthrown and they turn the ball over on downs. They just ran a toss play to Chris Carson and lost 2 yards on third down, and then ran a weird over-aggressive play on fourth down, and Seahawks fans are killing Pete Carroll. You're right. 95% of what we say about gambles, about aggressiveness, about going for it on fourth down is about whether or not it works or it doesn't. Unfortunately, the Falcons went for it on fourth down four times yesterday and not a single one of them worked. And even though the Seahawks pass rush isn't very good, they got Matt Ryan down on that fourth down play, didn't they?
Damn sure
when
did.
When they needed it, they got him on the ground.
Because the thing about it is, if you look at the pressure and the sacks that were given by the O-line, they're three-step, get the ball out of your hands quick. If it's not there, throw it away. But it's fourth down, so you can't throw it away. That's why I said I hated that play call. Give him a little time to have more options instead of making him have to go to the right side or to the left side. Give him more options. And they didn't. That's why I hated the
play call. It was a strange play call. We'll come back. We'll get the phone lines open, 404-741-0929. What frustrated you most about yesterday? Plenty of frustrating stuff happened with the Falcons. What stood out to you most here on a Falcons Monday? Brought to you by Comcast. Experience internet that's more than just fast with Xfinity XFi. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What's up and coming, yo?
Cheers.
Hey, man, Mike Bell here from Dukes and Bell. And every weekday at 520, we give you the John Foy Strong Arm Story of the Day. The biggest story of the day and our reaction to it and your take as well. Right here on Dukes and Bell.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Falcons Monday. Brought to you by Comcast. Experience internet that's more than just fast with Xfinity XFi, 20 minutes away from the AMA. Any question, any topic? Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, Twitter, at TBM929, at RandyMac81. Anything you want to ask? It could be Falcons-related or otherwise. We'll get to the phone lines in just a minute
Here goes something, Andy. Okay, so Bengals kicker Randy Bullock is undergoing tests, but the left calf issue that caused his late miss Sunday is nothing serious. No, I need to be serious, bro.
Yeah,
need your leg. I need his leg to be broken or something. All right?
Yeah.
No. It got to, no. What you mean? Hell no. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a baseball bat and hit him in the back of his leg again. Not serious, but you missed that kick the way you did, man. Get the hell out of here.
And then act the way that he acted afterwards.
Acting like that.
Yeah.
Man, get the hell out of here.
And I know Younghoe Koo missed an extra point yesterday, but, man, that onside kick game.
Oh, dude, it's bad. But it's the same one that they got twice last year.
I know. How it's the same one every time.
How does nobody go out there and knock the hell out of 54? Just go.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, I'm the not same sure. one. The same kick.
And here's what I'll say about that. I hope it's the last time we see it. Because you know when you see onside kicks? When you're down by too many points in the fourth quarter. That's the only time you onside kick is when you're down trying to make a frantic comeback in the fourth quarter. Let's let Younghoe Koo be one for one on onside kicks this year. Never again. Like, get a lead at some point. Get out to – I know they got a 3-0 lead yesterday because Younghoe Koo kicked a field goal. Get a bigger lead. Score a touchdown. Get a stop.
There's another thing. You are freaking driving. Your opening drive. You're freaking driving.
You're driving.
And you get a damn intentional grounding.
I know. Damn intentional grounding.
Damn intentional grounding.
Very frustrating. Plenty of frustration to go around. That's our question. After the Falcons start 0-1 for the third consecutive season, what was the thing that frustrated you the most? What was it that stood out yesterday that as you're, you know, having lunch today, you're still thinking about, you're driving to work this morning, you can't get over? What is it that has you most frustrated from what the Falcons did yesterday? Randy said earlier, for him, it was lack of adjustments. Not being able to diagnose what it was, especially what the Seahawks were doing defensively with Jamal Adams and do anything about it. For me, it's the lack of ability to come up with a big play in a moment when you need it. It just seems like we've seen the Falcons do this so much over the last couple of years when it's, all right, make this play, the game goes different. Make that play, the game goes different. And it tends to not break their way. What was it for you? We'll start with George in Lawrenceville. What's up, George?
What up, George?
George?
See, no.
Somebody's so mad that they are at a loss of words. They're so frustrated that they went mute. 404-741-0929 if you want to jump on the horn and tell us what was the most frustrating part of the game for you yesterday. D is in East Point. What's up, D?
Hey, guys. What's up, Andy and Randy?
Hey, what's up, D?
Go Dawgs, man.
You better believe it, baby.
Hey, what frustrates me is every time I look at the box score, and Matt Ryan had 450, 400 yards, 375, and it don't translate into touchdown. That right there aggravates me more than anything because from the 20 to the 20, he's one of the best I ever seen. But when we get in the red zone, man, it's a whole different world. And I think one of the problems is he's not a dual threat. So it's either to defense or drop back quarterback. So that's what frustrates me.
D, appreciate it.
Appreciate it, brother. Appreciate it,
something
D.
we talked about last week, Randy, was Falcons were great at moving the ball. They've been great at moving the ball for years. But for whatever reason, a lot of times those long, sustained drives, like you said, first drive of the game, Falcons moving the ball down the field. All right, looking good, getting Todd Gurley involved, spreading the ball around. Red zone, wall. 3 points. And then the Seahawks go down and score 7, and you're down by 4. Even though you had a good drive and you got points, you're immediately behind the 8 ball.
Yeah, I mean, to D's point, they don't do enough in the red zone, you know, and that is something that that you have to emphasize on. I mean, you get a really good opening drive, and then just like we were talking about when you missed the, you know, when you missed the Julio or something like that, it's a damn three-step drop. Mm-hmm. Get rid of the damn ball, Matt. Mm-hmm. Get rid of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of
the ball. Okay to score before you get to the red zone, too.
It sure is.
Like that play you're talking about with Julio, that would have been an explosive play. And that would have ended up 45 yards. That's an explosive play, too. And you
it's an explosive play, but
if you lead him,
it should have been a touchdown.
It should have been. Yeah, it absolutely. And again, that's the difference. Seattle gets that one-on-one with DK Metcalf on the outside. Russell Wilson puts it exactly where it needs to be, and he catches the ball in the end zone. Matt Ryan, there's pressure coming in his face. I get it. He made a good throw. They get 45 yards on the play. But if Matt Ryan leads them an extra 5 to 6 yards, Julio runs up underneath it, and he scores a touchdown. Those are big differences. Like, I'm not going to complain about chunk plays. Like, I want 45-yard passes. But when they could be more, and we talked about this earlier, it just seems like even when something is good, it's not as good as it could have been. Right? Like, you got to take advantage of those moments that you have. And for whatever reason, the Falcons haven't been doing that. I got two weird stats for you in regard to what D was talking about there. And look, you can win with quarterbacks that are different in a lot of different ways. We've seen teams win with quarterbacks that aren't dual threat, and you could score touchdowns in the end zone, or in the red zone with quarterbacks that aren't dual threat. There was 5 quarterbacks yesterday that led their teams in rushing. Mm-hmm. 5 different quarterbacks. Russell Wilson was one of them. All 5 of those teams won yesterday.
Right.
Kind of interesting. You know, maybe not something you would have seen 10, 15 years ago. More dual threat quarterbacks right now winning football games. The other one, I guess in the Pete Carroll era, they've given up a 400-yard passer 9 different times. Matt Ryan yesterday.
Matt Ryan's with.
Matt Schaub last year. They won all of them. Where they give up all those yards, they win. And yesterday was because it was empty yards. Yeah, it was.
It's a bend but don't break. And they hold you to, like you said, those empty yards. You throw them 400 yards, but the thing about it is you're down by 20 points when you're getting them. And that's why when we go back to people saying, why not run the no huddle no more? Well, you got to look at why they're running the no huddle in the first place. They're trying to catch up and get back into the game. And defenses are going to play that zone. They're going to play that picket fence or cover 2 or quarters or whatever. And they're just going to let you just stack yards. Stack yards. And then when you get close to scoring, they go clamp down.
Yeah, then they bow up and they try to hold you to 3. And when you're down by 20, even a touchdown, you're still down by 13 or 14 points like the Falcons were. They're using the clock as their 12th man as much as anything. Yeah, they'd love a turnover, a sack, whatever to stop you. But, you know, even if you're running the no huddle, that drive's going to take 3, 4, 5 minutes off the clock. And then the game's over. And that's what happened yesterday. You get a 20-point lead with 10 minutes left. I know it's frustrating. We get this way as Falcons fans, too. The Falcons get leads and then play that really soft coverage in the fourth quarter. I mean, you get 200 yards passing in the fourth like Matt Ryan damn near did.
We're queuing up your questions with the Middays AMA.
Ask me anything. Glad you asked. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org, the AMA to close the show out every single day. Any question, any topic, phone line, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, Twitter. And I think on Mondays, Randy, there's probably going to be some carryover between taking phone calls at 1:20 about the Falcons and then taking phone calls at 1:40 for the AMA. There's probably going to be some Falcons AMA questions, which is great. I think if you could tie the two together, there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's what Anthony in Powder Springs is probably going to do. So we'll start there. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I appreciate you for taking my call. Unfortunately, want to lean my frustration more towards on the loss that we just suffered. But all in all, though, I'm a diehard loyalist to the team. But what's so frustrating besides this COVID-19 pandemic and the face mask wearing is that, like, I really haven't seen that much of a change. Like, I still see a lot of, not disciplined players. You know, we've had a couple of penalties that set it back that really could have been game changers. Of course, we had a couple of missed calls, but I still think that it was all on to us. I mean, and it's understandable that Matt Ryan, he did his thing. He's our great quarterback. I support him. Supporter number 2 the most, but 450 yards, it doesn't convert into the touchdowns that we need. You know, we were doing plays that were so predictable that anybody, I think that my 5-year-old son who plays the game could even pick it apart. It was it was in a way more on the coaching, like third quarter. And like I said, I'm a huge loyalist to my team. So, but for Matt Ryan, he's a seasoned vet. He's an MVP, like winning, like no doubt about it. So with that experience, don't you think you would be calling audibles when you're on the field, when you know you see something's not right? Like, hold on, nobody sees Jamal Adams coming this way, or let's set something else up, or go over the call, like make a stand.
All right, we got it, Anthony. Thank you. Appreciate it. That's good stuff. There's a lot in there. That is an interesting question about the Jamal Adams
and
the adjustments. Yeah, great stuff from Anthony.
He has great points. And I think the one thing somebody said, well, why do we run routes at five? Is it like, again, you're looking at a play concept sometimes that it requires you to run at six. That's just how football is. But, you know, most of the time when you're running a route, that's usually maybe you're going straight forward instead of coming across. Because usually crossing routes are a certain depth. You know what I'm saying? When you're doing like a drag route, Andy, you got the 6 route one, you got the 10, you got the 12, 14, all that. But when you're running straight up, like the ones that used to kill me with Austin Hooper were his Y options. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a Y option and it's at 5 and you run at 4. That frustrates me more than the crossing route. Because to me, that's your third option in that read, unless you're running those crossers where they're going against the grain. They're crossing each other trying to bump off the defender. These are just straight crossing routes. As a man, and you got man-to-man on a crossing route, you got to win that. You got to stair-step them and win that route. That's on you, not always on the quarterback sometimes. That's on you to get away from that guy.
Well, and the idea sometimes on those routes is you get the ball, obviously, while you're moving. Like, you get it in motion.
Yes.
And you might be not to the first down marker yet, but you got to turn it upfield, like you said. You throw a stiff arm, stutter step, whatever, and you got him in the open field, and you got to make that guy miss. That's the idea of the play. Like, that's the concept of the play. And look, it's frustrating because it goes into all the other stuff you're talking about. Like, yeah, it's 3rd and 6, and you get tackled after gaining 4 yards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I understand their frustration. Trust me. I get it. I understand it.
Let's get to Chris in Madison. He's got an AMA question. What's up, Chris?
Andy!
What's up, Chris?
What's up, buddy?
Man, I got a great AMA for y'all today.
What is it?
Okay.
Who would you rather get stabbed by, OJ or Ray Lewis?
Damn. Come on.
Really? Well, first of all, Ray didn't get convicted. Neither did OJ, but everybody know OJ did it.
Yeah.
Everybody know OJ did it. Only thing helping Ray out is they didn't find that white suit.
Yeah. Damn. I mean, I don't want to get stabbed by anybody. So.
I don't want to get stabbed. It's like it hurt.
Yeah, I'm going to go neither. Go neither on that one. I'd be terrible at being stabbed, too, by the way. I'd be awful at it. Like, I got a low pain tolerance.
Terrible at being.
I don't know. You could be tough and get stabbed and, like, shrug it off and keep it moving. Like, remember you watch Game of Thrones? Those guys would get stabbed and then fight a whole fight after that for 3 hours. Right. Like, I'd get stabbed and then I'd just be on the ground. I'd be like, ow. I'm done. That's it. For me, there's no coming back after. Yeah, ow. Ow. There's no coming back. Like, I don't get stabbed and then fight the fight for 3 more hours. I get stabbed and then rub some mud on my face and try to pretend like I'm dead. Like, that's my tactic. That's where I'm at as far as getting stabbed. Alex wants to know, is Isaiah Oliver the worst starting cornerback in the NFL?
No, he's not the worst starting cornerback.
No.
All right.
No.
He played. He got beat. He got roasted on. He got beat. He got his hands down. I mean, it happens. Watch all the games. I know we don't care because the Falcons are the team here, but watch a lot of the games. DBs get beat. You know how hard it is to play that damn DB? How hard it is to play corner in this league by yourself? Nobody over the top. He got beat off the ball. Mm-hmm. It happens.
If you could add one player to this Falcons team, no restriction, anybody you want that's in the NFL right now, who would make the biggest difference?
Say it again.
If you could add one active NFL player to this Falcons roster right now, who would you add?
I can't hear you.
If you could add one player that's active in the NFL that would make the biggest difference on the Falcons, who would you add?
Oh, wow. One player. Pat Mahomes?
Yeah, that was going to be my answer too. I don't know why. If that's the – maybe Aaron Donald, like if we want to, you know. If you don't want to look, Patrick Mahomes is the best football player in the NFL. Yeah, I'm probably adding Patrick Mahomes, but I think that's true of any team that's not the Chiefs. Yeah, I don't know. I don't got to water it down and make it more palatable. Patrick Mahomes, he's the best quarterback in the NFL. That's who I would add. Let's throw it over to Brian and see if he's got any good ones over there. What you got, Brian?
What has been your media career-defining moment so far? For the both
I don't have one. I ain't no media member.
I mean, I think the Super Bowl, covering the Super Bowl, broadcasting from Radio Row was really cool. I mean, that's like one of those things where, you know, if you get into sports radio, mm-hmm. being there during the Super Bowl, doing radio on Radio Row, kind of seems like you're a part of it, you know? Like Mike and Mike are over there, and Colin Cow, you know, all the big wig radio people were there, and I'm there too. So that was pretty cool. I felt like I was
I've done Radio Row before. So it's all right. It's kind of boring being, you know, but you know.
Yes. I know.
Yeah. I mean, I've done Radio Row plenty of times, you know, down at Super Bowl, Andy.
I know. You're much cooler than I am. Yeah. I liked it.
But since I'm not a media member, I don't have any cool moments. I know in my radio guy career, it's getting my own damn show with Andy Bunker.
Yeah, it's pretty good too. Like that's a good one. Having your name on a show is pretty damn cool.
Pretty damn cool.
Yeah, it's a nice accomplishment, especially in a place like Atlanta, which is such an awesome market and such a fun city, so much going on. That's pretty damn cool. I'll say that too. Yeah. Brian?
Andy, would you let baby Lily wear a Greg Olsen onesie?
No.
Hell no.
Why would that happen?
He plays for Seattle now.
Oh, because, yeah. Well, she did wear a Seahawks onesie on Sunday.
Was it Greg Olsen's?
Nope. It certainly wasn't.
How does your wife feel about him being on your mom's team now?
She's cool with it. There was a moment yesterday we're sitting there. Well, you know, we watch all those pregame shows, and there was the NFL Network one and the Fox one and the ESPN.
Right.
I think it was ESPN they did a feature on. So it starts, and it's Greg Olsen's big old Scandinavian head in a beanie. And it's just the whole TV is his face. And, you know, and it's all dramatic, and it's the Greg Olsen story and all that. And I clicked the damn last button. I said, nope, we're not watching that. And Ashley goes, oh, come on, that's a Greg Olsen thing. And
oh, hell so, no. See, I would have took them damn batteries out that remote control. Ain't nobody watching football today.
Oh, we clicked over. I don't know. This other feature that they're doing pregame looks better. So we'll stick here and watch this one. Yeah. Now, there was some Greg Olsen enthusiasm at the house yesterday. Not from me, though. That's for damn sure.
No, you can't let that go down, man. Ain't nobody watching no damn TV now.
Exactly.
What's the one thing Randy has done in his life that Andy, you wish you could have done? And what's the one thing that Andy has done that Randy, you wish you could have done?
Wow.
I mean, I'd just like to have one afternoon as a 24-year-old with Randy's bank account at a strip club in Miami. Like that would be, I'll take that one. I mean, catching a touchdown in the NFL, all that, that sounds great. But just let me be a rich 24-year-old football player in Miami. That sounds fun.
Probably visiting all the national parks that Andy goes to. What? I'm serious.
Such an achievable one. Like
that seems
free.
Like it's
you
cool.
Go to them if you wanted to.
It seems like it's cool, man.
It is cool. It's really fun. It's awesome. Yeah. It's one of our country's great treasures. One of the things we've absolutely gotten correct is the national parks. Thanks, Randy. All right. Well, let's get to our takeaways.
As our show gets into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right. As we wrap things up here on a Falcons Monday, brought to you by Comcast, experience internet that's more than just fast with Xfinity XFi. We start with Wendy on takeaways of the day.
My takeaway of the day is that Randy is responsible for taking Homer J. Simpson to pee every morning.
Yeah, and he right here in my lap biting me. Go on.
Already? Right now?
Yeah, because he been asleep since 9:45 this morning. And then I go in there through the break.
He loves you, man. What about you? What's your takeaway?
Whatever. Oh, my takeaway of the day is that Lily is secretly wearing a Greg Olsen onesie.
No, she's not. No, there's not. That's not secretly. That's not happening.
That's all I can say.
That's a fabrication. That is a lie. People do not believe that. I learned today that Homer is already nasty. Homer the dog, nasty already, which is awesome. Brian?
Albert Pujols hit his 660th career home run over the weekend, man. Tying Willie Mays for fifth all-time in home runs, and no one seems to care. grown folks can't stay at people's houses and drink liquor for free, even if you're related. Mm-hmm. According to Randy, who is the proud owner of a new puppy named Homer, he was taken advantage of this weekend.
Yeah, I was too. That's the. I guess that's the The truth of being a dad, I suppose, that I'm learning. Anyway, thanks for all the phone calls today. That was fun.
Man.
We'll do
Appreciate that every single
Monday on a Falcons Monday. Dukes and Bell coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Talk to you guys then.
Watch out now!
Weeknight 7 to 11
with John Chuckery.
If I'm an NFL team and you're a high-level prospect and you decide to play spring football –